to be activated. Some of you are like, what does that even mean? You're going to find out. It's going to be good. You know, the kingdom of God isn't a kingdom of talk. It's a kingdom of power. That's what the Bible says. It's not just an idea. It's the kingdom is not just concepts and information. It is a reality. The kingdom paradigm is like this. We act on what we know. So what we've heard, then we respond to it and we get to do it. Jesus doesn't just call us to know stuff. He calls us to do stuff. Jesus doesn't just call us to know stuff. He calls us to actually do stuff. And we get to do the stuff. Turn to somebody and just say, you get to do the stuff. You get to do the stuff. The gospel is a gospel. You're like, what kind of stuff are you talking about? Good stuff. Kingdom stuff. The gospel is a gospel of empowerment. You know, religion just kills. When we go into observer mode and we watch professionals do stuff and we compartmentalize our spiritual lives into just ideas and watching instead of doing, we miss it. When Jesus is here saying, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to walk with you in all the areas of your life. And I want to see you release what I put in you. That's the beauty of what we're talking about. So 1 Corinthians 14, I'm just going to read a little bit of this. And you don't even need to get your Bibles because unless you have the Passion Translation. So I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. It's just going to speak to you tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Says this, it is good that you are enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. I want to read that again. It's good that you are enthusiastic, say enthusiastic, and passionate about spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. When somebody speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says. Because he's not speaking to people, but to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. But when somebody prophesies, he speaks to encourage people, to build them up, and to comfort them. The one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress. While the one who prophesies builds up the church. I would be delighted if you all spoke in tongues. But I desire even more that you impart prophetic revelation to others. Greater gain comes through the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless there's an interpretation so that it builds up the entire church. Verse 6, my dear friends, what good is it if I come to you always speaking in tongues? But if I come with a clear revelation from God, or with insight, or with a prophecy, or with a clear teaching, I can enrich you. That is a good word. That is a good word. So good. So he's saying, it's good to be enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't have a level of passion and enthusiasm for spiritual gifts, especially to prophesy. And it's interesting that it's like he's elevating the prophetic above even other gifts. In this passage, he's elevating the prophetic. He's saying, I desire that you would prophesy. Why? Because you are going to build up the church. You're going to encourage the church. You're going to comfort the church. Paul wants everybody to speak in tongues. It's just clear here. It's just right there. He says, I'd be delighted. I love that. Delighted if everybody spoke in tongues. Because when you do, you're advancing your own spiritual progress. How many like to advance your own spiritual progress? Yeah, I do too. I can honestly say I pray in tongues a lot. You know, I'm like alone and I pray in tongues. I'm sometimes with people and I pray quietly under my breath so they don't think I'm totally crazy. But I'm praying and what happens? I'm communing with heaven. I'm communing. I'm getting the heart of the Lord. When I am in different places and I don't know what to do, I start speaking in tongues so that I can advance my own spiritual progress and get tuned in with the heart of heaven. And that's what we do. It's that connection. You know, when I'm preparing for a sermon or something, I pray in the Spirit almost the whole time while I'm doing. I just type. It's like I pray in tongues and then I get the interpretation through my fingers, hopefully. It's amazing. And it doesn't make sense. But when I am praying in the Spirit, I feel the heart of God. And so he's saying, I'd be delighted if everybody did that. I'd be delighted if everybody did that. But as important as that is, Paul says, I desire even more that you prophesy. Because prophecy is for building up those around you. Everybody say, building up. Building up. We just read it in the scripture. So if I can come with a clear revelation, or I come with an insight, or I come with a teaching or something or a prophecy, then I can enrich you. How many like to be enriched? There's something so powerful that happens when we come with one of those things to someone else, whether it's in the aisle at Walmart or whether it's to a server that's serving our food and we bring encouragement, we build them up, God gives us something for them, even if it's just a little something, that person is enriched with the deposit of heaven in that moment. It's so powerful. Last week, I love what Brett said. He said, we need to practice. And I think for a lot of people in the church, that idea of like practicing the prophetic sounds weird because we thought it just came on super spiritual people in a moment and this holy thing happened and it just came over you and you just did it, you know? Right? And sometimes that sort of thing can happen, but the truth is that what I see here is saying, no, you eagerly desire this. Eagerly pursue it and say, God, I want your heart for the world. I want your heart for my kids. I want your heart for my wife. I want your heart for the people I work with. So show me your heart so I can give that heart out wherever I go and practice it. I love Brett said we should just practice more in church because it's safe. So then when we go out into the world, we can be a little more practiced up. Right? Like there's a level of understanding in the church of this, and we practice, we get the heart of God, and then we like go out and we just like start just sharing his heart wherever we go. I love that. So we're going to practice tonight. Yeah. Last week, it was so interesting at the end of the message, and it was so powerful. My heart was like burning. I'm like, we need to do what they just said. And that's carried this week into tonight, that we need to do what we've been talking about. Because I would never want you to leave these 4 or 5 weeks with just a bunch of info. I want you to leave actually taking a step and doing what you've learned. Church, we're tuning our ear to hear. How many want to hear? Yeah, you do. You're here. So we can partner with heaven. So why would we pursue this? Because the Bible tells us to. We just read it. Eagerly desire. Eagerly pursue, especially to prophesy. Hunger for it. Grow an appetite for it. Sometimes you have to change your appetite. Sometimes your appetite, you're like, I have an appetite. And sometimes that appetite is not for good, healthy food. And I have been like trying to change that appetite the last 24 hours. You know, again. You know, I ate a salad for lunch and that was great. And then I ate a half an apple and but I wanted something else. But I've been changing my appetite because I'm eagerly pursuing that again. And that's the case with this, eagerly pursuing it. Grow an appetite for the things of the Spirit. Grow an appetite to pursue spiritual gifts. Grow an appetite to hear the Lord. Think, oh, I don't hear the Lord. Well, we got to take time to just pursue it. Open ourselves up. If you start your day by saying, God, this day is yours, and I want to walk with you in this day, and I want to hear you, I'm telling you, you're going to start hearing him. I want to like partner with you in my day today, and here I am. Use me today. I guarantee you start praying that prayer every day, you're going to start hearing from him. He's going to start showing you things in real life situations that goes way beyond sermons and teaching. You're going to actually walk in what he's called us to do. Amen? So that's why we're pursuing it, to build up people around us, to share the very heart of God with the world around us. You know, you have keys in you that the prophetic will open in others around you. How many in here have ever received a prophetic word before? Okay, most of the room. How many have received a good one? A few hands went down. Yeah. What did that do to you? It unlocked something in you. You knew that God saw you and heard you. I've had moments where God used somebody to speak a word to me, and it changed everything. It released a momentum in my life that changed the course of things because, man, I knew I was on track. That's what we hold. You all hold keys. You're not getting keys. You actually have a giant key ring in your pocket that the Lord's like, I want you to take out some keys and put them and turn them in those locks so this door's open. And that's where, what this is really about, is that we're saying, man, I've got some keys that Jesus has given me, and I'm going to step out and I'm going to turn those keys and I'm going to see the heart of God released. I believe that each one of us carries that key ring with all sorts of keys that are going to open people up to the love and the presence of God. The body grows by that which every joint supplies, and we have something. Everyone in this room has something specific that you're carrying that somebody else needs to grow. And I believe the prophetic flows right into that. I really do. God loves using ordinary people to speak his heart. It isn't just certain people. It is everybody. I know you've heard that. And tonight we're going to experience. So tonight, we're going to practice what we've been learning. And we're going to do what we call around here a prayer tunnel. Or a fire tunnel, whatever you want to call it. A prayer line. I said it to somebody earlier, and they said, that scares me. and I want to tell you, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear, and do not leave. The ushers have locked the doors. No, I'm kidding. They haven't. They have not locked the doors, I promise you. There's no fear. No fear. But we're gonna pray for people tonight, and we're going to ask the Lord to release words of wisdom. We're going to ask the Lord to release words of knowledge, prophetic pictures, words. There were words coming already during worship. All the things that you've heard about these past weeks, I believe tonight the Lord is actually going to use you in them. How many are nervous? Yeah. That's good. It's good. It's okay. But the truth is that all of it is for building up. All of it is for encouraging. All of it is for comfort. All of it is to share the good heart of God. When you are rooted and grounded that everything that God does is good, then you know that anything that's from God is going to be good. It's going to be good. So we have to take a step to start that, though, right? I think so often we say, God, would you speak? Or God, would you do this? Or would you speak to them? And he's saying, I actually want you to speak. And I actually want you to do that. How many times have you been like, oh, God, do this. God, do this. God, would you speak to them? And the Lord's like, no, actually, I want you to speak to them. I actually want you to do this. I want you to do that. So we have to risk. And sometimes we have to do it afraid. I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out into a new place. And there are moments that I'm risking that I'm afraid when I'm risking. Have you ever risked and been afraid? How many know that the reward, though, is so beautiful when you're following his voice and his heart? So don't believe, I want to say this to you tonight, don't believe for a minute the lie that says that you're not ready. I think that that's one of the biggest lies in the whole church right now, that you're not ready. You're not ready to disciple someone. You're not ready to give a word. You're not ready to hear his voice. You're not ready to step out and just challenge somebody because of this insecurity or this issue or that issue. No, that's a lie. The world is waiting on us to believe that we are ready to release the heart of God. That's just the truth. The world is wide open, ready, waiting for the church to actually believe that they hear the voice of the Lord and that they can release his heart. And we get hung up sometimes in the lie that, oh, well, that's for the professionals or that's for that person that's really good at that. No, God wants to use ordinary people to do all this stuff. There isn't a person in the room tonight, if you are a believer and a lover of Jesus, that you are not in a place where you could hear his voice. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. So Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. You've heard that many times. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been given the gift to hear his voice. It's just as simple as that. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. It's just that simple. The gospel is simple. My sheep hear my voice. You're made to hear his voice. You're created to carry his heart, release his heart to others. So I just want us to pray. I want us just to declare two things right now. Would you just close your eyes and just lift your hands? And I just want you to repeat this after me. I can hear the voice of my Father. Now, how about we say it with some confidence? I can hear the voice of my Father. And I will share his heart tonight. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So every lie that would try and oppose that truth has to be silenced in this room in Jesus' name. Because you hear the voice of your Father tonight. Tonight. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to move in this in just a minute. I want to just give a couple really practical things for tonight. We're going to do what we call a fire tunnel or a prayer tunnel, like I said earlier. And we're going to invite everybody in the room to be able to go through this tonight and just receive prayer. So what's going to happen is you'll just kind of walk through the tunnel. People just lay their hand on your shoulder and they're going to just bless you. They might have a specific word for you of encouragement that builds you up, that speaks something to you. But it's all going to be good. Amen. It's all going to be good. So I want to say this. When you're giving a word, so what's going to happen? We're going to start with the ministry team, and we're going to have one tunnel here and one tunnel here, and then everybody else is going to line up, and we're going to come down the middle. Are you getting scared? Don't get scared. It's going to be so good. And you're all going to line up, and you'll begin to walk through these tunnels. Don't head for the exits. I can see some of you like, you want to get out of here? Don't do it. It's going to be good. So we're going to go through there, and we're going to bless people. We'll start with the ministry team, but then here's what's going to happen is that when you get through the tunnel, you're going to join the tunnel and you're going to pray for people that walk through too. Now, here's the deal. God, I believe, is going to surprise a lot of people tonight and give you a word that you were like, what in the world? How did I know that? And if he doesn't give you something specific, guess what? You don't have to, you're not performing. So you don't come up with something. You just say, I just bless you. I just bless you. I just bless you. You don't have to come up with something. This is not performance. This is us giving an opportunity to practice what we have been taught and to actually step out and risk a little bit, okay? So when you're, this is a couple little, I like to say safety fences around what we're gonna do. Everything that we do is to edify, okay? So in this setting tonight, we aren't going to prophesy any dates or mates, okay? So there could be a setting where that might be appropriate, I don't know, but it's not here tonight, okay? So we're not going to give any, like, instructions tonight, like, God is calling you to move to Alaska in July, okay? There's a place for that, people give those words, but we're just not going to do that tonight, okay? All right? And we're not correcting or calling out any sin tonight, okay? We are encouraging and exhorting and people as they walk through. And so those are kind of the little safety fences for giving words tonight. The other thing that I want to say is, you know, it's equally important to know how to receive a word as to give one. I want to just say this, you're the gatekeeper of you. Just because somebody gives you something doesn't mean that you just take everything. We have to receive it and say, God, is this for me? And if it doesn't resonate, we can brush it off. I feel like God's given me a really great ability to eat the meat and spit out the bones and like everything. I could hear a sermon and not agree with like 70% of it. And that doesn't happen with Pastor Gary, but, I'm just clarifying. I could leave and be like, man, I love that 30. You know what I mean? Like somebody can give me a word and be like, oh man, yeah, they had a really good piece of the pie there. They didn't have the whole pie, but they had a really good piece and I'm taking that piece. Okay? So I wanna help you understand how to receive that. You're the gatekeeper of you. And I've had some amazing words in my life. I'd say most of the words that have come to me have been amazing, right on words. I've had a few not amazing. I've had a few like incorrect words. And at the end of the day though, I hear from God and I have to say, is that from you or not? Amen? So I want to just tell you, never get derailed and off course from a word that someone gives you that isn't good. Don't do it, because you're more powerful than that. Okay? Is that good? So I came up with three Fs. If a word causes you to fear, freak, or get funky, don't receive it. The three Fs. Just don't receive it. Like, seriously, if it causes fear in you, causes you to freak, or causes you to get funky, just say, hey, I'm letting that one go. Right? We don't have to get all crazy serious about this. I'm serious. This is too good to throw it out because of fear. This is too good to not enter fully into this as a church because of fear or freak or because of a bad experience. Don't ever get derailed from a word somebody gives you. I don't care if it's a pastor or who it is. If you say, you know what, that made me feel fearful, funky, or what was the other one? Freak out. Like, I just am not taking that, and I'm going to go back to my father because he is not into those three Fs. Okay, that's a good word, I thought. So let's all stand up. Here we go. I'm going to invite our ministry team to come down. They're going to start this. Tyler's going to come up and do some worship. And we've got a good half an hour. So here's the deal. If you have children that you're going to want to go get in a little bit, I want to encourage you to get in the line first so that you can go through the line and then be able to go get your kids. And if you want to bring your kids back and bring them through the prayer tunnel, you should do that tonight, okay? So are you guys with me? Is this a lot of info? If you're with me, shake your head. Okay, good. So, we're going to have these two prayer tunnels. So in just a minute, we're going to begin. In fact, in just a minute, we're going to begin to line up. So you can come around and come down the center aisle. You'll go through these tunnels, and then you'll join the tunnel to pray for people, okay? And then if you want to come through, if you're a tunnel junkie and you say, hey, I didn't get enough, I want to go through the other tunnel and receive prayer, I want you to do that, okay? And so you can come down the middle, but we have to kind of keep it in order, otherwise it'll be crazy. So Andrea is right here to make sure. Yeah, she's like a flight attendant. So good. That was perfect. It was perfect. She's gonna be here to help you if you need help. And we care about honoring people. It's at the top of the list here. We want people safe at Hope, and we actually believe that we can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit without it going off the rails where we're still safe. Church, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And no matter how much you've seen so far, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I haven't seen anything yet. And it's coming. And I believe that this move of God is coming through the body, releasing the heart of the Lord. It isn't coming through superstars. It's coming through the body operating. How has Springfield changed? I believe one of the biggest ways it's going to be restored and the presence of God broken into this place, like, is through everyone walking in the prophetic, walking in the gifts, and releasing those gifts in everyday life. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to invite you to begin to come in line. If you've got kids, would you just make your way to the middle first? And then whatever we do, no matter how long we're going, be sure to get your kiddos by 8 o'clock, okay? And bring them in here for prayer. Yeah, and then everybody else, I'm telling you, this is going to be so good, so good. All right, let's do this one more time. Could we just lift up our hands all over this place and just begin to pray and welcome the Holy Spirit to just speak? Come on, just lift your voices all over this place. Yeah. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We just say yes to you tonight. Just say yes to you tonight. We just say yes to you tonight. We just welcome you to come and speak tonight in this room. We open our ears. We say we hear your voice tonight. We just say we hear your voice tonight. We hear your voice tonight. hear your voice tonight. Yeah, Tyler's going to begin to lead us, and we're going to just begin to open this line up, and it's going to be so good. So, yeah, just stay in a prayerful place as you come down. Just receive. Encourage you not to pray out loud, but just receive what the Lord has. Just go slow.